Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Gray Seas by Haley Edwards, narrated by Stephanie Richardson. Chapter 1. The dainty clip-clop-clip of delicate hooves on stone was enough to make me twitch at each blasted little step the servitor made in my direction. The director assigning me an assistant who was sleek deer from the waist down still galled me. The silver stag case was the turning point in my life, marking the moment I woke up and realized I had been living a nightmare, and he had chosen to taunt me with it.
Muffin?
Arms folded across my chest, I stared at the ornate door in front of me and grunted in Inga's direction.
They're wheatgrass and coconut.
She swallowed loudly.
I made them myself.
The director, for all his come back to work or else threats, was hiding from me. Right behind this door. A smile crept up on me at the confirmation he was afraid.
Of little old me.
But it wilted at the proof he no longer had any intention of even pretending to trust me in his immediate vicinity. Hence the locked door with the nasty ward keyed to me and only me, which I had been poking at for the last hour out of spite. Odds were good he felt a teeny jolt each time I disrupted the spell. Nothing painful, sadly, just annoying, akin to poking him in the side for attention each time he relaxed, ruining all hope of him focusing on his work. You waste my time, I waste yours. That was my mantra for the day.
I can take a bite first,
Inga tried again.
If you're worried I poisoned them.
As she hovered around me like a carpenter bee dive-bombing anyone who trespassed on their territory, I got a bitter taste of my own annoying medicine. Until you mentioned it, I murmured, lining up my next jab. The thought hadn't occurred to me.
Oh.
Why does it matter if I eat your muffins? A snicker snort told me a certain golem with the maturity of a 12-year-old boy had overheard me.
I made a bad impression.
Her voice grew higher, tighter.
I want to make amends.
The urge to bang my forehead against the door in front of me was strong, but I resisted to avoid another zap from the repellent magic coating it and pivoted to face her. I'm in fascination with Agent Montenegro, which I'm sure you know now even if you didn't last time we met. I suppressed a growl at the memory of her flicking her cutesy tail at Asa. I advise you to keep your hands, hooves, and horns to yourself if you want to keep them.
I requested the week I was in heat off work.
Her stammers grew worse the longer our gazes held.
It was denied.
Her fingers tightened on the greenish muffin in her hands until she crushed the base and the top plopped onto the floor.
I meant no offense.
Once upon a time, I would have relished terrifying Inga into a quivering mess of prey instincts. Say, while she was swishing her hips at Asa the last time I was in my office. But her fear didn't thrill me. Neither did the news she had tried to avoid the inevitable come-hither routine with Asa and been denied all hope of maintaining an amicable working relationship with me. Probably by the director, as yet another taunt.
Grrr.
You're not in any trouble. I pried the crushed muffin from her trembling hand. We're good, okay? To punish her after that hard-won confession would be as satisfying as kicking a puppy.
Yes, ma'am.
She bent her front legs, sweeping into a bow, allowing her to clean up the crummy mess.
Thank you.
As a token of good faith, I bit into what remained of the muffin and gulped fast. These are great. Tasty as fresh-cut grass arranged in a cupcake liner and then iced with sunscreen.
Mr. Kerr said you prefer homemade treats.
Her lips almost curve before flatlining with no hope of a resuscitation.
They're vegan. I hope that's okay.
I love all muffins equally. I lied, relieved when her eyes lost their deer-in-the-headlights quality.
Oh, good.
Her knees, all four of them, knocked with the instinct to flee.
Do you need anything else?
No. I waved her off and faced the door once more. You can return to your desk.
Clip, clop, clip, clip, clop, clip, clip, clop, clip.
How long was that hall anyway?
Clip, clop, clip, clip, clop, clip, clip, clop, clip.
You're cute when you growl.
A heavy arm draped across my collarbones, almost buckling my knees with its unexpected weight, and Clay rested his chin on top of my head.
Like a kitten with its back up.
Don't make me hurt you.
Oh, like when you dropped off the face of the earth for 10 years? That kind of hurt?
You'll never let that go, will you?
Ask me again in 10 years.
Ha. Huh. I studied the whisper of magic responding to my proximity. As if I would remind you.
You were very nice to Inga just now.
He shook me gently.
I'm proud.
Take it back. I glanced up and got a lovely view of his nose hairs. I'm evil, horrible, cruel. And I was stumped as to why he had paid good money for hair implants there, of all places.
You ate wheatgrass and coconut apology muffin. A vegan muffin.
His scoff warmed my face.
What horrors will you unleash upon the unsuspecting world next?
Just because I can't think of one, I shrugged him off. Doesn't mean I don't have ulterior motives.
Mm-hmm.
He slid in front of me.
How long are you going to stand outside this door?
The magic read his identity and dissipated, which meant he could knock and get himself invited in. Not that he would ever venture into the study unless under a direct order for fear of his master slapping more restrictions on him, or, more likely, grilling him until poor Clay spilled every secret of mine he held. You're on guard duty. I poked his shoulder. You would be standing outside a door all day anyway.
I'm bored.
His bottom lip thrust out in a perfect pout.
Let's break for lunch early.
Fine. I let him hook his arm through mine and drag me away. You're such a crybaby.
Slap a diaper on me and stick a binky in my mouth. I don't care, as long as it gets me to food sooner.
Let's discuss your kinks after I've eaten. I tapped my chin. Or never. Never is good. Actually, it's great. I'll pencil you in right after the apocalypse.
Works for me. I've always wanted to meet the Four Horsemen's ponies. I bet they're adorable.
You're not adopting a harbinger of doom as a pet. Now that he was a homeowner and lived on a farm, his new hobby was adopting anything that couldn't outrun him.
Harsh.
He hauled me out of the compound into the sun.
Harbingers of doom need love, too.
A weight lifted off my shoulders as I filled my lungs with fresh air. Even the distant crash of ocean waves pummeling the cliffside beneath the Stark mansion where I spent the bulk of my childhood failed to cast my mind back to those dark days. Maybe because I had Dad now. Mom, too. Sort of. During the stroll to our SUV, Clay and I bickered over the best butter substitute for vegan baking. Vegetable shortening was his pick, but I sided with margarine based on its artificial flavor. We piled in our ride, I drove out the front gate, and we rolled into town where I pulled into a gas station. With a grunt, Clay exited the vehicle, and I did too. Then I cast a spell to fry any tracking devices or other fun equipment that might have gotten attached to the SUV while it was idle. A few chunks of metal hissed as they hit the asphalt under the tires, and I turned my attention to a secondary sweep for spells. The precautions were tedious, but necessary to protect our privacy. Hence the debate on butter substitutes rather than anything sensitive, like our lunch plans.
Done yet?
Clay slurped behind me before pumping a straw that screamed in my ear.
I'm starving.
Almost. I turned to find him shoveling gas station nachos heavy on the jalapenos into his mouth between gulps of an electric blue slushy.
Why are you like this?
Handsome, charming, intelligent.
He thrust a loaded chip in my mouth that incinerated my tongue on contact.
Be more specific.
Forget the peppers. The cheese sauce was molten magma hot. As my taste buds died screaming, I considered waiting until he got in the SUV, then smudging his shem so he missed out on gulab jamun. The fried dough balls soaked in sweet rosewater syrup were a favorite of his.
Drink.
He tilted his cup toward me when I started fanning my face.
It's blue raspberry.
Since my mouth was on fire, I did take a sip. Then I stole the whole cup and flung it in a nearby trash can.
Hey,
he squawked, pointing a cheesy finger at the garbage.
That was half full.
That just means it was half empty.
Look here, pessimist. That jolt of sugar was all that stood between me and oral incineration.
How did you even get food that fast?
It's not fast food. It's junk food. They are not the same thing.
To prove I'm a good friend?
You'll buy me another slushy?
While his eyes shone with hope, I snatched his nachos and trashed those, too.
I'll save you from yourself.
I dusted my hands. No nuclear cheese, no need for a slushy.
You were right.
He faked, wiping a tear.
About what you said before.
He sniffled.
You are evil.
I'll make it up to you. I patted him on the shoulder. Promise. Once I climbed behind the wheel and strapped in, he slid in the back and made sad puppy eyes at me in the rearview mirror until I rolled up to Glory of India. I had my pick of parking spots in the empty lot, which was nice. This place was usually packed to the gills during the lunch rush. There were definite benefits to booking an entire restaurant for a private meeting. Happiness, too large to fit in my body, exploded in tingles across my skin when Ace arose from a low bench beside the small koi pond, a remnant of the days this was a Chinese restaurant. I was out of the SUV and running before Clay got his door open. Ace and I met in the middle. He dug his fingers into my hips and lifted me until my feet dangled above the pavement.
4 hours.
Clay spread his arms.
It's only been 4 hours.
Asa, proving I was a bad influence on him, spun me around like we were a couple reunited in a rom-com. I cackled like the witch I was, tucking my face in the crook of his neck and filling my lungs with his scent.
I missed you,
I whispered in his ear, and he growled in response, sending shivers down my spine.
Knock it off.
Clay bumped his shoulder into us on his way past.
You're embarrassing yourselves.
The jostle slid Asa's unbound hair over his shoulder, and a white bolt shot past me.
Clay!
Colby lit on his head and nestled into his wig, giving his scalp a 6-point hug.
You're here!
His eyes softened to marshmallow fluff, and he reached up to collect her.
Hey, shorty.
Opening his jacket with one hand, he held out the magically insulated inner pocket while she dove in. About to gleefully point out I wasn't the only one suffering from separation anxiety, I got distracted by a woman mashing her face to the window by her table. She buffed the glass with her forearm, puffed hot breath on it, and then wrote, "Hey, bestie," in the resulting fog with a fingertip.
That's who you traded me in for?
Clay muttered out of the side of his mouth.
Seriously?
You traded me in first, I reminded him. Colby is your bestie now, remember?
I stand by that upgrade.
He passed Colby her custom headset and phone.
Can you say the same?
Sure, Marita had stuffed a straw up each nostril by the time I glanced back at her. And yeah, she was blowing bubbles in her drink that way. But she was also grinning from ear to ear, because she saw me. Me. I had an actual friend. One I made all by myself. One who was lifting her tea to show us her pink bra?
Is she flashing for beads?
Clay tilted his head.
She knows we're not in New Orleans anymore, right?
Why are you looking? I smacked him upside the head. She's a married woman.
Her undershirt.
He ducked my second swing and raised his arms over his head.
There's something written on it.
Sure enough, Marita had figured out she was putting on a show and began wrestling with her undershirt where it stuck to her tee. Our pictures, hers and mine, were printed on the front. Beneath our disembodied heads was written, Besties for the Resties.
She's just buttering you up so you'll take her monster hunting.
Jealous? I tweaked his side. Green isn't your color.
Lies,
he hissed.
All colors are my colors.
Before Marita escalated again, I made a beeline for the door and then the reserved table. Hey.
Don't hey me.
She smacked into me with the force of a linebacker. Hug me. With her pinning my arms flush against my sides, the highest I could reach with my fingers was her hips, which didn't make our embrace awkward at all.
I can see we have work to do.
She reared back to frown down at me.
Practice makes perfect.
I don't need.
Prepare for stealth hug protocol.
She wiggled her fingers at me.
Love could happen at any moment.
Beside me, Clay mouthed stealth hug protocol with the joy of a child experiencing his first Christmas. I scooted closer to Asa, escaping her immediate grab range. Okay.
Marita.
Clay chose the seat next to the one she had vacated to greet us.
Always a pleasure.
The lack of pleasantries between Asa and Marita told me they had chatted while waiting on us to arrive.
Back at you.
Her gaze dipped to his pocket as she reclaimed her spot.
Lunch for five? Just four.
He winked to confirm Colby was present.
We can begin whenever Rue is ready.
Marita smacked her palm on the seat next to her, which put me very close to a person armed with hugs. Asa, who must not have read my panic, sat on my right, leaving the chair between them my only option. Once everyone was seated, I cast a privacy spell to allow us to speak freely amongst ourselves. First, Marita, I want to thank you for coming. I sank onto my chair, one cheek hanging over the edge closest to Asa. I appreciate your willingness to take time away from your mate and pack to help us.
Derry is a loser.
She rocked her chair onto its back legs.
And he can suck it. Ladies and gentlemen,
Clay announced to the table.
The famed warg mate Bond in action.
All's fair in love and riding sea monsters. Her smile was all teeth.
That's how we keep it spicy.
Before I heard a detailed accounting of the aforementioned spice, I plunged back into my briefing. There's been no word from Aiden or movement from Calixta. I wiped my sweaty palms on my pants. We don't know where they're holed up, with whom, or when they plan to strike. Meanwhile, as of this morning, Stavros is alive and well in Hyle. I sprouted claws from my fingertips, pricking neat holes in my slacks. That means Asa remains a prime target. A heavy silence blanketed the table, and Clay honed his gaze on me. There was a very good reason Asa hadn't come to work with me as the other half of my security detail. Blay was MIA, and he had been since Asa wrested control to allow the farm's doctor to save their lives. There was lingering tenderness in his gut that worried me, too, and exhaustion dogged his footsteps. Days ago, I reminded myself. He almost died days ago. Time and daily healing sessions with Colby, aka Mystical Med Mage, would cure the rest. Colby, who had absorbed the news of Aiden's sacrifice the same way she adapted to her new life with me. She ignored everything that came before. Not a healthy coping mechanism by far, but I hoped to get him back before she did any real damage to herself. I don't know what else to do for either of us. That's why Marita is here. I forced myself to breathe. I couldn't think of a fiercer guard for Asa. Aww. She made a heart with her fingers and pounded it against her chest. You do love me. A flicker of annoyance pinched Clay's features before he smoothed them, but I could have told him no one would ever take his place in my heart. Could have, but didn't, because payback ought to be savored. Might I ask? Asa inquired, linking our fingers. Why the Centuria wasn't tapped for this job? You may. I allowed his touch to ground me. I want a guard who doesn't think like a demon.
Isn't that counterintuitive? Clay cut in. When we expect demon retaliation?
Asa can provide Marita with the demon perspective. I explained my reasoning. Based on his suggestions and her prior experience in this field, she will tailor her precautions to give him the widest coverage possible.
That frees Moran up to stay at the farm, Asa observed, to watch over Mother and Peleg.
Oh, does it? I pushed my eyebrows up my forehead. That's a happy coincidence.
Asa made a soft noise in the back of his throat that telegraphed his disbelief.
Until Kalula recovered enough for portal travel in another day or two, she was a guest in our infirmary. The hope was, when we returned her to the temple, that Asa's grandmother might have learned how to sever my link with the hunk. That had been our bargain, but we had no guarantees of her success. Peleg, on the other hand, would be on bed rest for a couple of weeks. He was awake and talking, but the hunk had walloped him good while protecting Colby from his rough handling. He required more time to heal from injuries before Moran settled him in his own room and read him the Colby Riot Act. If I had my way, Kalula and Peleg would have Asa for company. I would leave him behind the wards with the entire Centuria to guard him. But he nixed that idea. Obviously, or he wouldn't be sitting next to me. The worst part was I couldn't kick up a fuss since I would pitch a fit if he tried to bubble wrap me, too.
All right.
He accepted my plan without complaint.
In that case, thank you for your service, Marita.
Thank me when it's over, she countered. And you're not dead.
Pinching the bridge of my nose, I pretended not to have heard my worst fear blabbed without a filter. Protecting Asa is priority one. I plowed ahead. Locating and detaining Luca is priority two. As the woman responsible for freeing Dad from his cell beneath the mansion and the pot stirrer behind the recent Black Witch rebellion within Black Hat, I had decided to kill two birds with one stone. Gift Luca to the director, and it got her out of our hair. Plus, I hoped it restored me to the director's good graces. Easy access would make it much simpler to kidnap him and trade him to Calixta in exchange for Aiden.
Incoming, Clay said under his breath, then louder. Thanks for closing the restaurant for us, Krish.
A quick twist of magic unraveled the spell, and if the smell bothered anyone, no one mentioned it.
Anything for you, sugar.
A slender man with dark eyes braced a hip against the table.
What'll it be? Chili pakora and keema samosa to start, with enough garlic onion naan to build a fort, please.
Studying Clay over his order pad, Krish chewed on the inside of his cheek.
That for you or everyone?
Ha! Marita tapped her menu where it rested on the table.
That's just for the lightweight.
While Clay spluttered incoherent noises, she ordered half the appetizers and a wide selection of flatbreads. If a peckish golem could eat a side of beef in one sitting, a hungry warg could put a dent in the herd. The rest of us, as in Asa and me, will have tandoori keema kulcha. Now that Asa and I had progressed in our fascination beyond requiring each other's saliva to make food palatable, I was on a mission to discover Asa's tastes, which was proving to be a delicious journey. Once the waiter was out of hearing range, I zeroed in on Clay. You know each other? The restaurant was his suggestion, but he was a fan of Indian food, so I hadn't given it another thought.
Krish and I go way back. He's a good kid. You don't see many Gandabirunda out this way.
Gandabirunda were two-headed birds of immense power, but they rarely ventured outside of Jaipur. While being friendly with Clay counted for something, I recast the spell to give us a bubble of privacy.
How do you intend to lure out Luca?
Asa rolled his thumb over my knuckles.
You saint as bait?
Luca and Dad's relationship was rocky, mostly because he shirked her terms to spend time with his dead wife's vengeful spirit. Yes, my life is a lot right now. He had every intention of fulfilling their bargain by bringing down the director and Black Hat, just not on her timetable. Nanette Bickersfield.
The technomancer?
Clay rested an elbow on the table and it tilted toward him.
What about her?
As a technomancer, Nan casts spells using technology, resulting in her status as an elite hacker. The Toussaint Coven hired her to erase their involvement in stealing corpses from New Orleans morgues to feed a sea monster they planned to sacrifice to grant a young witch the power of resurrection. Which, yeah, might sound even crazier than the whole vengeful spirit mom thing. Did I mention my life is a lot right now? Nan hacked the Kellys to gain access to us, and Colby returned the favor. She's been tracking Nan since New Orleans. While there's no guarantee Luca is nearby, their credit card statements indicate they often travel together. I pitied the fool who underestimated my little moth girl. So, really, Nan is our target.
Find Nan? Marita hummed with approval. We find Luca.
Coming in hot!
Krish called as he backed through the kitchen door into the dining room. The poor thing carried three trays balanced up one slender arm and a plate in his opposite hand. A tug on my magic unraveled the spell, and I pretended not to catch the whiff of rot accompanying it. As Krish extended a plate toward Clay, a burst of pale light strobed throughout the dining room. Asa cupped the back of my head, shoving me down, but the earth-shattering boom that shook the floor toppled everyone from their chairs. Food spattered my cheek in a fragrant burst of garlic. A vicious snarl rent the air, and the world went dark and hot and silent. Chapter 2. A persistent whine in my left ear annoyed me enough I pried my eyes open and found myself staring at a blue sky with fluffy white clouds, rather than a drop-tile restaurant ceiling. I sucked in air to comment, but couldn't inflate my lungs. Probably the fault of the hulking crimson demon flattening me into a pancake with Marita spread eagle across his back like a cherry on a sundae. The metal beam across her shoulders pinning her in place didn't help. Neither did the golem crushing my right arm under his hip, also stuck in the fetal position beneath debris from an explosion? Blay? I wiggled my hips, but I couldn't budge. Marita? I tugged on my numb arm, hissing. Clay! With Colby tucked in Clay's soundproof pocket, she wouldn't hear me if I called out to her.
I can't believe...
The rubble shifted above me as Marita stirred.
I got blown up on the first day. Yeah. Oxygen whistled through my parted lips. Sorry about that. Are you kidding me?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?